Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, source of all goodness and life, who clothes us with Christ Jesus and makes us one in the Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For peace in the church, the healing of the nations, and renewal of creation, let us pray.
Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie.
For those who thirst or hunger, those who have no shelter, and all who are imprisoned, let us pray.
Kyrie eleison, Christe.
For all who gather here to sing their thanks and praise and plead for help and mercy, let us pray.
Kyrie eleison, Christe.
Save, comfort, and defend us, O God.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Gracious God, throughout the ages, you transform sickness into health and death into life. Open us to the power of your presence and make us a people ready to proclaim your promises to the whole world. Through Jesus Christ, our healer and our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading comes from Isaiah. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. Your God will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. God will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. Word of God, word of life.
The psalm today is Psalm 146. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in rulers, in mortals whom there is no help. When they breathe their last, they return to earth, and in that day their thoughts perish. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord of their God, who made heaven and earth, the seas and all that is in them, who keeps promises forever, who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah.
A reading from James. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," and while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the dominion promised to those who love God? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 7th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Jesus said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay hands on him. Jesus took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and he touched the man's tongue. Then looking up to heaven, Jesus sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha, that is, be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Going to jump back to the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah has been commanded by God to say to those who are of a fearful heart, "Be strong, do not fear." Isaiah was given these words from God to speak to a people who are living deep in exile. This means we've got people living where they don't plan to live, under circumstances they don't plan to live under, Israelites living under Babylonian captivity, carted away from home. "Be strong, do not fear," God says. Exile is this theme in the life of Israel. And it's this beautiful language that gives us words for experiences that we have in this life. Exile isn't just something that happened to them under the Babylonians. Exile happens when a force outside of yourself takes you into a situation that you do not desire, where you cannot navigate your surroundings because the markers that once anchored your senses are gone. Exile happens when lightning strikes and a forest fire starts that eventually comes up the valley and threatens to burn down your village. And you find yourself not here having the summer that you thought you were going to have 3 years ago, but sleeping on some church pews in a town you've never been before. Exile happens when you go to the doctor and you receive a positive diagnosis for cancer. Exile happens when you're sitting at a benign old regular staff meeting hearing about hose house trainings, and next thing you learn that your pastors are going in 5 days and that there's been some conflict that you may or may not have known a thing about. Exile happens when you move across the country to Holden Village for some lovely gap year or sabbatical, and you get here, and that week all these crazy announcements have been made, and you're going, "What the heck have I just gotten myself into?" Exile happens. And to those of us who find ourselves there, God says to us in our fearful hearts, "Be strong, do not fear." Because God knows that fear is our natural response to exile when we look around and we can't navigate and we can't locate ourselves and things are not as we had planned. Fear is our natural response. And God knows that fear is not good for the human heart. Because the movement of fear is to shut down, to close off, to constrict. Fear has this tightening effect and it's lethal. It takes an open hand and turns it into a fist. It takes open hearts and turns them into stone. It takes open eyes and causes them to shutter closed, open ears, and just stops them right up. Fear slowly but surely shuts us down. And in fact, under fear, there's not even really a chance for there to be an us of any kind. Fear strangles the life out of that possibility. I had a therapist one time who told me that when you get thrown into the storm of the sea of life, you're not benevolent. You just grab for the nearest life jacket and hold on for dear life. And if somebody else needed that life jacket, it doesn't matter because you're trying to survive. The goal in exile gets pretty individualistic pretty fast. It's rarely communal. It becomes about you and your survival and your trying to navigate a way out of the situation that you're in. Everything in exile can get pretty reptilian, pretty instinctual and reactive, and everything becomes about protecting your own heart from the pain that exile imposes. And so, God says to us who find ourselves there with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Now, fear not was our summer theme. So every Monday for the last 3 months, we have heard someone give a sermon on the topic of not being afraid. And more than half of these great preachers that we've had through here this summer have said something to the effect of, yeah, but when you're afraid, someone coming to you and just telling you, don't be afraid, is rarely helpful. You know, as a person who spent my early 20s mostly battling a panic disorder and clinical anxiety, I can tell you this is true. Somebody tells you, just don't be afraid, and it's like, well, now I just feel worse, and I'm just gonna, shame heaps on the whole thing, gets ugly. So, what God is doing here through the voice of Isaiah is a lot more than just telling a bunch of fearful people to quit being afraid. What God does is to invite us out of our fear by giving us a promise and a vision of a future that we are going to step into, something we can hold on to that will inspire hope. Exile, this place where we find ourselves from time to time in this life, induces fear. And God knows that isn't good for us. And so God meets us there and offers us hope, because hope is a powerful antidote to fear. So God says to these Israelites living up to their eyeballs in exile, probably 45 years deep, you who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear, because the eyes of the blind will be opened. And the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame are going to leap like deer. The tongues of the speechless are going to sing for joy. Waters are going to break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Do you hear the immensity of that promise for people for whom their world is completely closed up? Everything is going to be open to them. Every place that fear has constricted them is going to be opened wide up. Fists are going to return to loving outstretched hands. Hearts that have gotten pretty darn hard are going to beat again with love. Our community, which might feel a little scattered and desolate and rough around the edges right now, will come together with a ferocious love, the likes of which we have not yet seen. When you're led by a promise like that, when you believe in a future like that, you start to anticipate its manifestation. You start to fight for its manifestation. And you, even while you're packing fear and confusion, start to manifest that promise and that reality in your very being. Promises are powerful things. And hope is a mighty, powerful thing. It starts to undo the effects of fear. Just look at the Syrophoenician woman. God bless her persistent soul. She found herself in a sort of exile. I mean, first of all, she's a woman living in first century Palestine. There's no mention of a husband or of sons, just a daughter with demon possession. So this is a woman who has probably no rights, no power, and maybe her only family member is in grave peril. And yet she is not compelled from that exile place by her fear, but by her hope. And where fear would have her recoil and hide and constrict, hope compels her to reach out, to come forward with her fear, to expose her need, to be vulnerable with this Jesus fellow. And now here is the part that every preacher who's preaching this text this Sunday struggles with, that Jesus shuts her down. This is the one instance in Scripture where we can clearly point and say, Jesus is wrong. And that makes for a challenge for listeners and preachers alike. But get this. This woman's hope is so strong. She believes in the possibility of her daughter's healing so strongly, so much hope, that she actually opens up Jesus, God incarnate, the author of the universe, expands the very bounds of the kingdom of God because she has persisted in hope. Hope is a powerful thing. And then we've got this man who's deaf with a speech impediment, and he's in another kind of exile. And his friends bring him to Jesus, and they are holding on to a mighty strong hope as well. They're holding on to this promise that something can be done, that it won't always be this way. And they insist on that being the case. And so Jesus, method is up to him, but he sticks his fingers in his ears, spits on his hand, touches his tongue, and says, Ephphatha, be opened. And the man is opened. Exile induces fear, and fear induces this every person for themselves kind of mentality. It has us walking around with this life goal of protecting our little hearts from whatever it is that exile is going to impose, which is pretty darn toxic for community. So God meets us there with an antidote, with something we can hope for. A community living deep in exile that is shut down by fear will be opened up and expanded. It's going to gush with more life than you've ever known. Blind eyes are going to see, and deaf ears are going to be unstopped. And so for a minute, I want to address the Holden Village staff, but I think it's a message that applies to most of you in the exile places that you might find yourself. In the days and in the weeks ahead, this is your roadmap. First of all, it's been a hard week. This has nothing to do with the texts. This is just me taking a moment of personal privilege. Part of your roadmap is just to feel your feelings. There's been a lot of them. Don't react to them, just feel them, sit with them, be with them, make space for them. But then in the midst of all those feelings, take your cues from the Syrophoenician woman. Let your hope for this place and this community compel you to reach out, no fists, just loving, outstretched arms and hands. Be vulnerable with each other. Persist, and I mean this, persist in loving the heck out of each other. I mean, make it your mission. And sometimes this doesn't happen. Like, the dining hall is a hard place to have deep and meaningful conversations, and our work areas keep us busy. I want you to make time and space to meet each other, to know each other, and to love the heck out of each other. And I feel the need to say this. I want you to reach out to Miranda. Melinda, good Lord. Melinda. Melinda. Because she came here to be the staffing coordinator, and on Tuesday she learned about all this mess. And she's going to fill in for a little while until the directors get all of this sorted out. And so she's just as whiplashed as you all are, and she's here to care for you in the interim. And Marcus and I trust her to take care. So reach out. Persist in reaching out to her and to every other villager you meet, because in doing so, in assuming a posture that looks like this instead of this, fear dies and hope wins, and this village is going to continue to expand and grow and open beautifully into the future, springs gushing in the wilderness. And so will your hearts. So exile happens. It happens here. It happens in your homes. It happens in our hearts. And it rips the rug right out from under you, and it is scary. And so God gives us something to hope for. The eyes of the blind are going to be opened. The ears of the deaf are going to be unstopped. The lame are going to leap like a deer. Your present, parched, and thirsty souls are going to gush with water. Your angry fists will release and reach out with compassion. And our community, now fractured and hurting, will be made whole. And when we believe that that is our future, then we begin to insist upon it. And we persist in our actions until that is the case, 100%. We are a people of hope, not a people of fear. And hope just doesn't disappoint. Amen.
Thank you.
We continue on page 21 of your service booklets. With the church, the world, and all those who are in need, we pray together. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over all who sleep. Tend your ailing ones in your love, Lord. Rest your weary ones in your love, Lord. Bless your dying ones in your love, O Lord of all. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over all who sleep. Soothe your suffering ones in your love, Lord. Heal afflicted ones in your love, Lord. Shield your joyous ones in your love, O Lord of all. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over all who sleep. Hold your grieving ones in your love, Lord. Raise your fallen ones
in your love, Lord.
Mend your broken ones in your love, O Lord of all. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over all who guard your little ones. Guide your searching ones. Grant us all your peace in your love. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge. For what else do we, the people of God, pray? Lord, in your mercy. In your Lord, in your mercy. In your Lord, in your mercy.
In your
Lord, in your mercy.
In your
Lord, in your mercy. 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 Into your loving and outstretched hands, O God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, in your goodness, and in your hope eternal. Amen. Watch, O Lord, with all those awake this night. Watch, O Lord, with all those who weep. Give your angels and saints charge over all who sleep. The peace of the risen Christ be with you all. Let us share a sign of that peace with one another. Peace. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and good, everywhere and always, to give you thanks and praise, Holy God, mighty and immortal. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, who on this day broke the bonds of death, and by his glorious resurrection, opened for us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name, and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord God. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath. We praise you, O God. We praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the waters, across the wilderness, by night and day, out of exile and into the future. We bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, and with us now. We thank you, O God. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim together the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering upon this bread, within this cup, among your people throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, for your mercy through Jesus Christ, by your Spirit, in your church, without end. Amen. Gathered around the table by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sin as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. This is Christ's promise, made manifest in bread and wine, that brings us out of our exile and towards one another. Amen. You may be seated. Gluten-free. I invite you to turn to page 16 as we sing together, "Now, Lord, You Let Your Servant Go." Please stand.
Becky and Marcus, on October 10, 2017, Holden Village and Fullness of God Lutheran Church called you to be pastors in this place, to proclaim God's word, to baptize and teach, to announce God's forgiveness, and to preside at the Lord's table. You have preached the gospel, loved us, empowered us, nourished us with God's word, and comfort us in times of trouble. Sharing our joys and sorrows, you have been important to our life together and in God's mission to the whole world. As you leave our community of faith, we say farewell and we pray for God's blessing.
People of God, do you release Becky and Marcus from service as your pastors? If so, say we do, and we give thanks to God for our ministry together. We do, and we give thanks for our ministry together. Becky and Marcus, do you recognize and accept the completion of your ministry with Fullness of God Lutheran Church and Holden Village?
Let us pray. Almighty God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you gave the holy apostles many gifts and commanded them to feed your flock. You equipped your people with abilities that differ according to the grace given to them, and you call them to various avenues of service. We give you thanks for the ministry of Becky and Marcus among the people of God in this place.
You, O God, watch over our going out and our coming in. Bless this time of ending and beginning. You surround your people in every time and place. Keep us close in your love. You accompany your people in times of joy and times of trial, exile. Prosper all that has been done to your glory in this time together. Heal and forgive all that has fallen short of your will for us.
Help Becky and Marcus, and help all of us to live with good courage and gladness in the future you give to us. As they have been a blessing to us,
so now send them forth to be a blessing to others. Amen.
Receive this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We sing together our closing hymn, which is number 612, 612.
Go in peace, led forth by a fierce hope. Thanks be to God.